Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this morning, we come to Acts chapter 26, reading together the whole of the chapter as our text and scripture reading this morning. So let us hear together the Word of Almighty God. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the stricter sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death I cast my vote against them. And I punished them, often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, and that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a quarter. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but all who hear me today might become almost and altogether such as I am, except these chains." When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, "This man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains." Then Agrippa said to Festus, "This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to it. As we look at this passage of God's word, we see Paul's defense in front of Agrippa, king of Israel at the time, and we must understand that Paul is speaking to him as one who knows what goes on in the Jewish religion, who knows what goes on in the synagogues, and as we read later on in this chapter, as one who is convinced of the Old Testament prophets. And yet, having heard Paul, Agrippa is not willing to believe on Jesus Christ, which is very saddening to Paul and ought to be saddening to us as well. As we look at this passage, we see how Paul speaks concerning his conversion to the gospel and how we are then to as well approach those who do not believe. And so as we look at this passage, we see the theme that we want to see is Paul's witness of his conversion and preaching brought to still higher earthly authorities. Paul's witness of his conversion and preaching brought to still higher earthly authorities. In the first 11 verses, we see that Paul's history of oppression to Christianity. In verses 12 through 18, we see Paul's conversion to Christ on the road to Damascus. In verses 19 through 23, we see Paul's having preached the gospel from the Old Testament in Christ. And in verses 24 through 32, we see that, again, Paul's call with the gospel is ignored, and we see that by Festus as well as Agrippa at this time. So Paul's history in opposition to Christianity, the first 11 verses. Speaking before one who knows the situation, answering for himself to King Agrippa, who is an expert in the customs and questions of the Jews, we read in verse 3. He feels himself privileged in that manner. And so Paul speaks about his early training in strict Judaism. This is well known to the Jews if they were willing to testify concerning it, we read verse 4. He was trained as a Pharisee. We read in Acts 22, verse 3, in his defense there, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, and brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you are all today. The Jews know this. Philippians 3, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, Paul says of himself. And yet Paul is being judged for the promise of God to our fathers. The hope of attaining to that promise is what the Jews did in serving God day and night, we read verse 7. Jeremiah 33, verses 14 through 16, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah in those days, and at that time I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And Paul elsewhere states that by obedience to the law, they were not able to attain to this hope, but that it was the hope through the gospel, through the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul is confronting man's questioning of the resurrection, verse 8. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? And yet many people today question the gospel on this same reasoning. Is there really resurrection? Acts 17, verse 3, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 also speaks about this, the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of Christ at length. And so Paul speaks of his previous zeal in persecuting Christianity. He thought he must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we read in verse 9. 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 13, And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And so Paul had been shutting up the Christians in prison and even putting them to death, compelling them to blaspheme and punishing them even to foreign cities. And so as Paul is about this, on his way even to Damascus, on the road there, he sees this light, and we read about his conversion here. Paul retells of this conversion on the road to Damascus, hearing the voice and the light, and it is revealed that Paul is fighting against Christ, we read in verse 15. And Paul is thereby, by Christ, sent with the gospel to preach the gospel. Instead of fighting against it, Paul begins to preach. Christ had appeared to him for this very purpose, to make him a minister and a witness of the things which you have seen and of the things which he will yet reveal to him. Ephesians 3, verses 6 through 8 teaches us that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power to me, who am less than the least of all the saints. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so Paul was to be a witness to Jews and Gentiles that God even promises that he would keep him safe from them, opening their eyes, delivering them from Satan to God, turning them to forgiveness and to an inheritance among the saints, we read, is what God had told Paul he was going to be doing. Isaiah 42, verse 7, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, to those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And so Paul demonstrates that he had gone from persecuting Christ to preaching Christ. And so Paul has preached Christ, the gospel of Christ, from the Old Testament, we read in verses 19 through 23. That Paul obediently declared the gospel to all the world. He was not disobedient. He declared to those in Damascus and Jerusalem and in Judea and then to the Gentiles the gospel. The message here that Paul preaches, repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Part of being a Christian means not only repenting, but turning from our sins. And we only do that through the grace of God. And the gospel, then, as taught in the Old Testament, is the reason that Paul has been seized here. Paul is witnessing only what the prophets and Moses said would come, he says. The Old Testament teaches that the Messiah would have to suffer, rise from the dead for salvation. Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And so Jesus witnesses to this as well, John 5:46, for if you believe in Moses, you would believe in me, for he wrote about me, that the gospel would be preached to all nations. And so, again, sadly, Paul's call with the gospel is ignored. He had previously called Festus alone. Now he calls Festus and Agrippa to faith, and Festus seeks to defend against Paul's call of the gospel. You are beside yourself, and much learning has made you mad, Festus says. And Paul responds that he's not mad, but he is speaking the truth, and he is speaking in reason. 2 Peter 1:16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Paul would have been an eyewitness. Even though at the time Paul was not believing, it all would have fallen into place when he was converted. Many believe today that the gospel and the Bible are madness, craziness, but they are the truth. And salvation through Christ and repentance are true as well. And so Paul desires the conversion of the rulers. Agrippa had not escaped these things. They were not done in a corner, Paul says. And Paul calls Agrippa to faith. He says, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. And Agrippa says, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Sadly, it is almost. Paul's desire is their conversion. It is the conversion of and faith of all people in Christ. And this ought to be our desire as well. This is the reason that we preach on the radio on Start the Week, to spread the truth of the gospel. And even then, as Paul has spoken, his innocence is declared, yet he is left in prison. The verdict of the ruler is that Paul is innocent of having done anything deserving death or chains, we read in verse 31. He might have been set free, they say. Yet it is God's will that Paul preach the gospel even to Caesar, and that God uses this miscarriage of justice to that end. Paul is left in prison, and even our bad situations are there to God's glory and for our good. And so Paul would die at the hand of Caesar. We'll see that in coming weeks, the Lord willing. And yet as we see that the gospel is spread even to the house of Caesar, even to those of the rulership of Rome. And that must be our desire as well, that the gospel would go to all people, both small and great, in this nation and in this world. That is our desire at Start the Week at Salem Reformed Church of Ashley. Amen. Thank you for joining us on Start the Week this morning. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. We have begun worship services in Dickinson. My colleague, Reverend Dale Clark, is pastoring a chapel of Salem Reformed Church, First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. They are meeting at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 2 p.m. Sundays for worship. If you have any questions, again, that number is 701-288-3265. If Ashley or Dickinson are too or far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Golden Valley, Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be happy to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.